This won't end well for Illinois.
Here's a three. It ended well.
McCourt for the win. In the air. It is up. And it is gone.
Fourth and 16. Pressure comes. Emmanuel Bebe with the ball in the air. Makes the catch.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Oski Doc. My name is Anthony Pasquale with Patrick Catazone. It's Bragging Rights Week, and we'll get into that in a little bit, but we've got a lot to cover first, so we'll get right into it with Paige. Since the last time we talked to you, Illinois basketball has played two games. The first one we previewed against then number, 11, Arizona. They were coming to Champaign. They had never won in Champaign before, and a lot of people were expecting it to be the biggest non-conference game since Chris Paul and Wake Forest came to town way back when, and it certainly did not disappoint. It was a great game. Illinois had a lead and was in it for most of it, but ended up losing 83-79 just by four at home. Trent Frazier and Alfonso Plummer were terrific, both of them with 25-plus. It came down to Kofi. Despite having 13 and 13, he kind of got shut down.
Yeah, he didn't play great in this game, and I would just say that this game was an L because Andre Curbelo wasn't in it. It was a great back and forth game. Illinois was in it pretty much the whole game. They just couldn't come out on top in the end. I think that Underwood was right in saying that this team isn't ready to play a top five team, which Arizona is now ranked six. They weren't ready for that. I will say this: defensively, Kofi was all there. Like Koloko, who also played good defense, obviously Kofi had a hard time, played great defense as well. So like defensively, yeah, like you'll take it, but dude still had 13 points, 13 rebounds, made a bad decision down the stretch and missed a couple of shots that you wish you got back. You know, maybe if Kofi doesn't have a bad game, and honestly, that's, I don't even want to say it was great defense by Koloko. I just felt like Kofi just played bad. Like it wasn't his game.
The defense wasn't even that good by Koloko. It was more their really long guards coming out and like blocking him from behind a lot. Like that happened way more than we've ever seen it. And we've never seen him get blocked that many times in a game.
Yeah. And Mathurin was great. Creasell was great. You know, he seemed to make a bucket whenever they needed it. And Benedict Mathurin was just that guy who, you know, comes in and gives production. Doesn't necessarily look super flashy. Cause I mean, when you saw him on the floor, you're kind of like, oh, yep. Oh, he scored a point. Like it was almost those giveaway points, but you know, it's nice to have a guy like that can do that. And Plummer's a little bit like that for us, just get automatic finishes. But, you know, there were some disappointments in this game. Coleman Hawkins, I think, is really in his head. And I think the last two games have proved that. He can't decide what's a good and bad shot, I think, right now. And his jumper's a little broken. You got to task Underwood with fixing that. And I think when you look back this entire year, you could kind of see Underwood just trying to feed confidence to Coleman, because that's his last step. He just needs that confidence. And I think he's at that next level of play where he's starting and giving actual production. But he had a disappointing performance in this game as well.
Yeah, I think, like you said, Benedict Mathurin was great. Brad Underwood said after the game, if you want to see what a pro basketball player looks like, that's what they look like. Long, lanky, can shoot, and also pick up some rebounds. He had 30 and 7. So you're not going to get a much better performance from a guard on the road as you got from Benedict Mathurin. For Illinois, they had some big leads. Like you said, Coleman was not good off the bench. Jacob Grandison was, though. But the big thing is you can't go against the top, you know, we'll call them a top five team, top 10 team, and only have four guys score. Jacob Grandison had 14, Plummer 25, Frazier 27, and Kofi 13. Nobody else scored. you can't win a game like that. And eventually with a team as good defensively as Arizona, as long and as lanky, they'll put bodies on those four guys and it's up to somebody else to step up. And in that game, nobody did. Illinois was really aided by Trent Frazier. He kind of had a coming out game offensively, especially after battling some injuries and things like that. But Frazier went on, I think, a 14-0 run by himself in like the span of like 2.5 minutes. And aside from that, only had 13 points. So that helped in the first half. In the second half, Illinois got outscored by 8 points. And you're not going to win a game if you're getting outscored in the second half like that. And I think a big reason why is nobody else could step up.
Yeah. And that's where, to me, it's like, well, Curbelo's out. Those production numbers around the board are going to go down because he's the creator. He gives other guys those opportunities. So when he's not in the game, you know, it's harder to get Luke Goody to take a shot. You know, he's got a confidence problem too. He's a freshman. RJ Melendez is the same. Like, when you have a guy like Andre Curbelo on the floor, he can create points for other people and give them that confidence and a shot, get them open, you know, set a good play for them. When he's not on the floor and he can't manage that way, because as much as I love Trent Frazier as a point guard, you know, Trent Frazier isn't that kind of point guard. You know, he's not the big assist god that Andre Curbelo certainly can be. So when you don't have that player, like, the productions across the board is going to go down. I think that's exactly what we saw in this game. You know, I really felt like if Curbelo was in this game, we would have won it, and we probably would have won it by 10.
Yeah, I think so too. His loss has been very magnified over the last couple of games just because teams are throwing full court pressure and really athletic guards at us, and Illinois doesn't know how to break it without their press breaker. I mean, what Brad Underwood said after that Arizona game is it's hard because you spend a full offseason designing an offense to run through Curbelo, and now you have to redesign almost everything because you don't have him and don't know how long you won't have him. So that's been a challenge for this coaching staff as well, and just kind of getting more guys involved, more guys to handle the ball. We saw when Frazier, Hutcherson, and Curbelo were hurt that, you know, Damonte Williams and who else brought the ball? Coleman Hawkins didn't really know how to bring the ball up and run the point. And with that, I don't know if we've talked about the on the show yet, but Austin Hutcherson out the year with a hernia. So that's a ball handler. You're down two primary ball handlers, and it's up to Trent and Plummer to keep carrying the weight until Curbelo potentially gets back, and we know Hutcherson won't this season.
Yeah, so he, you know, he's out. Yeah, I mean, it's tough. It's kind of like, and I said this to some buddies. I was at the game as a fan, not covering it. I was kind of like, you know, we're at the point of like, who's getting the points? Like, we have four guys on this team that are creating every opportunity, getting all the points. We need somebody else to step up. Like, it just never came. Like, when you keep relying on those four guys, like, it gets easy to guard, right? Because someone on the floor isn't scoring. So, you know, that's kind of what I got to say about that. But like I said, it impressive stuff from the Illini from this stretch until this point in this Mizzou game. And I thought they'd go undefeated to the Mizzou game. I really did. I said on the podcast until they lose to Arizona, but I've been telling everyone I think they can make that stretch. To make that stretch without Curbelo is impressive. Any way you want to see it, it's very impressive. So,
yeah, it's the Illini. It's definitely a stride that shows you can hang with one of the best teams in the country. We're just not quite there where we can beat them. But, you know, they've been hurt. They've been sick. And Brad said, we haven't gotten a chance to practice as much as we'd like to. Now we'll get a chance to practice. They had a week off in between that Arizona game and this Saturday's game against St. Francis, PA. And they practiced, they worked, and they looked like a much different team. Obviously, it was a bit of a tune-up before bragging rights and the rest of conference play. St. Francis PA isn't all that good, but Illinois whooped them 106-48. They held St. Francis PA to under 25% shooting from the field in the entire game. Kofi had another double double with 21 and 11. Grandison had 18. He scored his 1,000th point. Alfonso Plummer had 19. He was 1 point away of making it 7 straight. With 20 plus points, and they set the all-time single game record for threes in a game with 18. So That's the recipe, and they looked great.
Yeah, and everyone scored. I think everyone except for Connor Servin scored, who got in that game. And Omar.
Yeah, Omar. But everybody else scored. Brandon Pajimski got a great confidence boost. He got some minutes early. He scored 7. Coleman, despite playing with the second team at the end, was creating a bit. He had 8 points. Melendez had 5. Verdonk got involved. Luke Goody got some good minutes early. It was nice to see DeMonte score some points. Yeah, everybody got involved. That was awesome to see.
Yeah, and I think too, like, in this game, the like guys you want to see get like production for me was Luke Goody, Benjamin Bosman Verdonk, and RJ Melendez. Cause those are the guys that I felt like in those big games, they could come in and potentially give you a couple points. They got to get Luke Goody going, man. The dude needs to start hitting some open threes. That's his game. Some open jumpers, stuff like that. Get him going. To kickstart the offense when you play these bigger games. I've been really impressed by BBV. Like I'll be honest, like the dude's a great rebounder offensively and defensively, especially on offense. If he could get a put back up and hit those, because that's where his struggles have been. And I think he's figured it out a little bit. He's kicked it out a couple more times than he would have. If he gets that game going, like he should be playing like a good 12 minutes, 10, 12 minutes in the game. And he's a guy we didn't think would probably see any minutes ever. So if he could be effective on the glass, look, get him some more time going. But other than that, I felt like Luke Goody's got to get going. RJ Melendez still has to figure out the college game. I think there's just some things left over from high school that he thinks he could get, and it doesn't happen. Like, what was it the other day? I don't know. Was it Arizona game? I don't know what game it was, but he did a baseline drive. And
Arizona.
Yeah, and he got blocked.
It was such a telegraphed block, too. Like, you just knew it was coming.
It was, yeah, and it was, I can't even remember the defensive play that it was, but it was a baseline drive. I think there was somebody, and there's two Arizona. He was driving on an Arizona player from baseline. There's another player there. He tried to, do a jump stop and put it up, and it got blocked. And it was just stuff like that. It's not going to fly in college anymore, unfortunately, especially against a long team. So get him a little bit more confidence, get him more suited for the college game, and hopefully get some more production from him.
Yeah, but I was impressed with 5, 5, and 4 from him in just 9 minutes on Saturday. Everybody honestly was impressive to me. You got the starters out early. You know, Brandon Lieb with 4 points and 2 boards. It's good to see those guys get involved. I'm still looking for a little bit more out of Omar Payne. You know, he was highly advertised as a guy that without Kofi is going to be our starting center. And he really just looks a step behind everybody else offensively. Defensively, I think he's fine. You know, he's good defending. He's a long, long defender, which makes it hard to get shots up over him. And he gets good rebounds. But offensively, he's just not there with some of the other guys like Kofi or even BBV at running the offense. So I'd like to see a little bit more out of him. He keeps on having these games where he's only in there 4 or 5 minutes and BBV's getting his minutes, which has been surprising to me. But like you said, BBV has been earning those minutes. So I guess that's probably why there. But yeah, really good game, a non-conference tune-up before bragging rights in the thick of the Big Ten conference schedule gets going, but they won it, and they won it the way they're supposed to, and set a record while doing it. So that was a good win, and now it's on to Mizzou on Wednesday.
Yep, and thank God Mizzou is mostly depleted.
They're not the same team that Illinois has seen the last 3 seasons. They're also not the same team that has beat Illinois the last 3 seasons. Yeah. Trent Frazier and DeMonte Williams are the only players on the team that have a win against Mizzou, and that's because they're in their 5th year playing. Drew Smith, their leading scorer from last year. Xavier Pinson, their leading passer from last year. Jeremiah Tillman, their leading rebounder from last year. And Mark Smith, all their top 4 leading scorers are gone. They no longer have those players. It's a much different team this year. Kobe Brown and Amari Davis kind of lead the way. They're both averaging over 10 points per game, and Kobe Brown's averaging almost a double-double. But they are not on par with how good Illinois is. And I hope finally that shows on the court this year.
Yeah. If you're an Illini fan, the only two guys you might recognize are Kobe Brown and Javon Pickett. Other than that, Drew, like you said, Drew Smith, he graduated. Xavier Pinson is on an undefeated LSU team now. Jeremiah Tillman's played at Europe, and Mark Smith transferred once again to Kansas State. So those guys are all gone. Drew Smith, the biggest one, I'm so glad graduated. Thank God. I could not stand that guy playing against the Illini. He was great. Going down the line, Kobe Brown's their best player, without a doubt. Returning starter, averaged 15 points a game. Wasn't great in the Illinois game last year. I think he had 9 points, but he's a great rebounder. Great on the glass. Other than that, this team is mostly made up of transfers. The other guy that you mentioned that Illinois fans probably recognize is Javon Pickett. The guy Illinois was recruiting, ended up going to Mizzou. Unfortunate, but he's getting starting minutes as well. He's going to be their number one, number two guard. Amari Davis, the other good guard, he's from Green Bay, I want to say. Yep, he is from Green Bay. Other than that, they brought in a ton of guys. Jaron Coleman, another one of their better players this year. I believe he's coming off the bench, transferring from Ball State. I'm trying to think any other players that I want to feature. Oh, Ronnie DeGray, the third. He transferred from Ball State. I'm pretty sure. Nope, psych, UMass. Mizzou kind of put together a little bit of a makeshift team this year because they lost so many people. But yeah, they're not very good.
Yeah, they're not. And they beat us in the past by just outworking and I guess outrunning us. They played a lot quicker against some of the teams in the past, which weren't, you know, as capable of playing fast. This team can play fast. They can play as fast as any team in the nation. So I think, you know, using our speed this year to our advantage would be huge. No Andre Curbelo, it looks like, again. So it's going to be Grandison, DeMonte, Kofi, Plummer, and Trent as the starting lineup with, you know, Coleman and the freshman coming off the bench, BBV as well. And I think the biggest thing is going to be feed Kofi because nobody can guard him on that team. No. And he could use a good against a good team for just confidence, especially after that Arizona, his struggles there. And then just let your shooter shoot. And you really shouldn't be close in this game. You run the risk of if it stays close, you know, shots aren't falling, whatever the case may be, you need somebody to take over. It's got to be Kofi. But I really think Illinois should control this game from the tip.
Yeah. I would fully expect Mizzou to press this team.
I forgot to say that. They need to be able to beat the press.
I think every team in America will do that from now on. So we should be really good at it. They're going to be playing pressure defense. Trying to get doubles, try and track Kofi probably. But to be honest with you, this should be like a 20-point win for Illinois. This should be a pretty dominant win. Mizzou is bad this year.
I'll see if there's a line set on it. And obviously rivalry games are always closer than expected because both teams play harder than usual. But, I mean, you look at Illinois, I think I get what you're saying here. Illinois is a 20-point or more better team than Missouri.
Yeah, it's like this is a very much a rebuilding year for Mizzou. And I think, it's
no line to tell,
like, where they're at this year, just because it's like a rebuild year and a little bit of a disappointing like year last year. I kind of feel like this might be Quanzo Martin's last year coaching at Mizzou. He was a guy that came in, was I thought a pretty solid hire. Could have went to Illinois. I'm pretty sure we interviewed him, but hasn't really been working out that well for them with him. He's made to two tournament appearances. You know, the teams that he had, especially last year,
should have won more games.
should have won way more games, should have went farther in the tournament. His first year season, he had what's his name, was on the Nuggets, Michael Porter Jr.
Yeah.
Definitely should have went farther than the round of 64 with that team. You know, and to be put in a position where you have to rebuild again, you know, it's kind of time for Kwanzaa Martin to get fired. So it'll be interesting to see where he's kind of at. I want to say this too about Illinois starting lineup. Do you see a difference between having Coleman in the game and Grandison in the game?
I've been saying that all year. I love Jacob Grandison. He is an automatic, make everybody on the court better type of player.
I'm trying to pull up the big stat that came out about him.
The plus minus?
Yeah, the plus minus. Oh. Yeah, Illinois goes from the worst in the Big Ten to number one in the Big Ten in terms of offensive like production.
When he's on the floor?
Yeah, when they switch.
Yeah, he's ridiculous. I almost think he's as good a shooter as Plummer. He just doesn't take as many shots, but he is automatic from three. He gets rebounds. He knows when to cut, and he defends well. He's probably my favorite player to watch on this team this year. And I think, you know, we always talk about, you know who your guys are. You know, it's Plummer and Kofi, and Trent's your ball handler. He's also a shooter. But who's that other guy? And you know, in other years, I remember 2 years ago, it was, you know, Kofi's rookie year or freshman year. And so our guys were Io, Kofi, Trent, and who's the fourth? And it was Alan Griffin for a lot of the year. And last year, that extra was Curbelo off the bench. And then it kind of became Grandison once Curbelo's role got bigger. And this year it is Grandison. He's that guy. Yeah. I think he's over double digit points in his last like six games or something like that. And he had 18 and then 13 against Arizona and over 20 against Iowa. He's been really, really good. So we're a much better team when he's on the floor. And I think he could be a big reason we would win this game as well.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. And I kind of like Hawkins coming off the bench. You know, he comes off the bench, gives you size immediately. I think if he figures out like what his confidence issue is, like he's there. Offensive rebounding, he's already there. Like there are certain things to his game that I'm really, really happy about. He has a little bit of some discipline issues on defense, but like if he can figure those out, like I think he could be the next big player and could be a feature player on the team next year.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, and Brad's been saying I've got to get him back to being confident, because when he's confident, he's as good as anybody. So we'll see that. And I think playing, you know, that last game against St. Francis will help him. This Mizzou game probably will help him. He's a very hard guard for them because he's 6'10" and can shoot. So we'll see. Maybe this is a little bit of a breakout game for Coleman Hawkins too. And on that topic, DeMonte, I would love to see him score like he did last year a little bit.
Yeah.
Start making some more threes. He was the best, highest percentage, I should say, 3-point shooter in the country. I hope he gets back to that, because that was such a boost for this offense. But yeah, it's a game Illinois should win. So let's get into some score predictions here. I'll let you lead the way.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Illinois to win this one 90-70. I really think Illinois should dominate Mizzou. If they lose this game, it's a very suspect loss. I know it's a rivalry game, but they are not good. They are really not good this year. They have some pretty bad losses. They have a 23-point loss to Florida State. Big losses against Kansas City and a huge loss against Kansas. So if you're going to be up there with the likes of those two teams in specific, Florida State, specifically Florida State and Kansas, you got to blow this team out. So we'll see. We'll see how they come out.
Yeah, I think Illinois needs to win this game. You've already kind of had your slip-ups in the non-con. This is a game you got to win. I think they do it by about 10-ish points, maybe 12. I'll go 79-67, Illinois wins.
All right.
So there we have it, the preview for the Mizzou game. Hopefully we get our first win against Missouri in our time in school. I can't believe we haven't yet, but it should be coming.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be exciting.
Yeah, let's shift gears here into football a little bit before we let you guys go. Pat, you gave us a breakdown a couple episodes ago on some potential quarterbacks that Illinois might be targeting in, I almost called it free agency, in the transfer portal. One of them was Tommy DeVito from Syracuse, and Illinois has secured him in the transfer portal. He's going to be an Illini.
Yeah, he was a guy that I totally did not think we would go after, but I feel like what it came down to was we wanted a quarterback pretty much immediately. Like, we needed a guy to commit fast, and Tommy DeVito was willing to do that. I think Art Sikowski is pretty much done. I think he's not going to be ready for spring ball. They wanted a quarterback for spring ball. Tommy DeVito was going to be available for that. Because Art's still going to be injured during spring. And I think that will put Art Sikowski so back that I don't think he'll ever play football again, except let me start breaking down Tommy DeVito and I'll explain why I think that Art Sikowski might still play football again. DeVito's a solid quarterback. Like, freshman year, he was like, people are thinking, well, give him two more years to develop, might be a Heisman. Unfortunately, he kind of got stuck in a system where it switched a little bit more to run-based offense, and he got injured a lot. That's what a lot of people don't understand about Tommy DeVito. When you talk to Illini fans, a lot of them will be like, oh, well, you know, they switched the offense. Well, those attempts, those lack of attempts, are because he got injured. Like, he wasn't playing games. It's not necessarily the offense was changing, because he should still get opportunities in any offense. They're not running the ball 90% of the time. He got injured. He got injured a lot. So it kind of came to the point where he just got injured so much. He was done at Syracuse, needed a new location. He comes to Illinois. Look, I think Tommy DeVito is a pretty good quarterback.
Yeah, he kind of gives me like a Baker Mayfield comp, because you won't expect him to be as athletic as he is, but he's kind of sneaky athletic. He doesn't have a rocket of an arm, but he's pretty accurate. So I think that's kind of what this offense needs, especially if it's going to be 1-2 punch with Chase Brown and Josh McCray.
Yeah, and you're going to be running the ball. It won't be all him. Why I'm nervous, because it's a good fit. He can make the deep throw pretty well. He's good location on his ball. He can lead an offense, which is important. What I don't like about him is I think he's going to get injured again. I think a guy like that who gets a lot of injuries in his career, and he could prove me wrong, but it almost reads similar to Brandon Peters. Like, I just think this guy is going to get injured a lot, and I think Art Sikowski is probably going to have to come in and replace him. So that's why I think Art might play a couple more times in the orange and blue. But for now, they're sticking with Tommy DeVito. It was a fit in terms of they wanted a guy pretty much immediately to learn the offense and to be ready for spring ball and go into fall ball and be able to start right away. And that's what Tommy DeVito gives you.
Yeah, and, you know, we talked a lot about this team. It's going to look a little bit different next year. They led the nation in super seniors, you know, guys like Jake Hansen, James McCourt, Blake Hayes, players like that who will be moving on. And then, you know, they've had some talented players that are a little bit younger with the chance to potentially move on and enter the draft or the transfer portal. And over the last couple of weeks, we've seen a few guys decide to go pro. Kirby Joseph led the team in interceptions and was a first team all Big Ten defensive back, has declared for the draft. Same with tight end Daniel Barker. And a little bit of a surprise to me, despite he did have a really good season, linebacker Kalen Tolson. So that thins out the defense a little bit. Ryan Walters will have his work cut out for him in spring ball with this new recruiting class to replace a guy like Kirby and some athleticism at the linebacker position and Kalen Tolson. But kudos to those three guys, and best of luck to them in the pros in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah. And Kirby Joseph, in my opinion, his development is all on Bielema. Like, this is a Bielema guy getting sent to the NFL. Lovie recruited him. Kirby Joseph did not get opportunities in the Lovie offense. He was
it's a special teamer. It's about it.
That was it. Now, you know, they give him the opportunity, at free safety. He's making plays. He was a ball hawk. They taught him well. You know, this is a Bielema guy getting drafted. And I imagine he'll get drafted in like the round, fifth round. We'll see how high he could rise. You know, after a guy like Nate Hobbs gets drafted and performs so well. You know, he's 6'1", 200 pounds. I'm curious exactly where the NFL will like him. You know, he's a guy who
dime back.
I don't know. I'm you know, they might put him at the nickel almost too. I was thinking about it.
Small.
Because he's small. That's the thing. He's not a big free safety, but you know, he's a guy that I think could give you immediate help in the NFL. At least give you depth. So we'll see where he ends up, but he was the highest rated safety in PFF this year. So I best of luck to Kirby Joseph. He's a guy who technically is a junior, but is an academic senior. This was his fourth year at U of I. So best of luck to him. I really hope that he for some reason comes back, because I'd love to have him next year, but I think Illinois would love to have him next year, but yeah, what are you going to do?
Right. Yeah. And looking forward to seeing him in the pros. I think Daniel Barker is going to be interesting. I think he was the tight end that scored the most touchdowns in Illinois history. So great career for him here, despite being on a lot of teams that preferred to run the ball. But I think he might find as an undrafted free agent, like a practice squad opportunity as a tight end on a team. And then Kalen Tolson, his athleticism at the linebacker position is attractive to the NFL eye.
Yeah. Yeah. I think both those players have good opportunity. Daniel Barker certainly has some good size and great hands. That goes a long way, I think, in the NFL. We'll see how he does in the combine. And Kalen Tolson was the one guy I'm pretty sure the staff was not expecting to leave. I don't blame him. I think Tolson could have used another year at Illinois, another year in the program. But look, he's a good size linebacker. Again, we'll just kind of see how he does in the combine with what NFL scouts see, what they see at senior day. And, you know, we'll see where he gets drafted, or even if he gets drafted.
Yeah, absolutely. And this past week was signing day, and Brett Bielema met the media and talked about a lot of different players joining the Illinois recruiting class. You were there. So, Pat, what's the breakdown of this new class?
Solid class. I think one of the best that Illinois has had in a long time. I feel like the difference between this recruiting class and past recruiting classes is the relationship between the former coach and Brett Bielema. So the high school, from the high school level to college level, Brett Bielema puts his trust in the coaches to tell him, hey, excuse me, Brett Bielema, you know, he trusts his recruiting, I don't know, network, his high school coaches and his staff to go recruit guys that, you know, fit the program and, you know, are almost those diamonds in the rough. And I think he got a lot of that this year. The one guy that I felt like was really, it was a surprise that they gave him a scholarship. But he banked off of lots of coaches in the Chicago Catholic League, the CCL, to, you know, give him the, like, hey, this is your guy. It's James Kreutz, Josh's younger brother, linebacker, coming out of Loyola Academy, which is a great program for football, as Anthony, I know you probably know very well. You know, he was a guy that I felt like we were going to have a preferred walk on actually too. But instead Brett Bielema felt so confident in the recommendation from high school coaches that he just gave him an offer. So, you know, you get guys like that. It's filled with guys like that, where they're like, they fit all the requirements to be an Illini, and they get the good recommendation. I think that went a long way with this staff. So it's interesting. It's all very interesting to see. Other guys I liked, I really like the quarterback they signed, Donovan Leary. I think he could very much be made into a great player. Signed six offensive linemen. Love to see that. Replacing every single lineman they lost. Isaiah Adams will probably get minutes right away at the tackle position. He's come from Garden City Community College, so he's got two more years of eligibility. Other than that, Tyson Rooks was a guy I'm really excited about. He's a guy who's only had one year of football experience, and he's done so much that he got that offer. Two-way player, plays wide receiver and defensive back. I'm curious where they're going to put him because he's 6'5". Almost a little tall for a D-back, but we'll see where they put him. He's a guy that they very much can mold into maybe a deep ball guy if they want him on the offensive side, and maybe a fantastic free safety on the other side. He's quick, has really long arms, so two good things going for him there. But, yeah, this whole recruiting class is very good. Super excited to see them actually play in orange and blue.
Yeah, me too. I was just going to say, looking forward to seeing all of them in orange and blue. I think a big thing is they recruited the state of Illinois better than we've seen past coaches do, especially in his first year. So kudos to Bielema for that. And it seems like a good class. Looking forward to see all of them.
Yeah, Jared Beatty's good too. I'm excited for him. He's the number one recruit in the class. But, yeah, I mean, the relationship is now there with high school coaches in Illinois. So that's extremely important. And if you're able to recruit in the top 40, I know they're 44 this year, the next three or four years, you're going to be in a bowl game almost every year. So that's what Illinois needs to keep on doing.
Yeah. So we'll keep our eyes on that for sure. Well, that'll do it for this edition of Oski Talk. This is our last episode before Christmas. So we just want to wish you guys a Merry Christmas. Of course, if you celebrate and observe, Merry Christmas from us here at Oski Talk. We'll talk to you guys next week before Illinois' next game. I believe that's December 29th against Florida A&M. So we'll talk to you guys before that one. Recap a hopeful bragging rights win and preview that game. But for now, thank you guys so much for listening all year long. For Patrick, I'm Anthony. ILL.
I and I.